Good afternoon. Well, or should I say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Aap se milkar bahut khushi hui. Ab hum baatcheet karte hain. Yes. Okay. Well, I hope you will not sleep on me. But here you are. But you are allowed to have rest. Because it's being recorded as well. So there we are. Okay, so you can, but then you have to have time, because sometimes we say, oh, okay, next time, and then next time never comes back. So now we enter after the lunch into answering questions Muslims ask. I remember when this type of thing happens, is it because I'm so near to my microphone, or is it the battery which causes problem? I'm okay? Right. Yeah.
The occasional bump?
Yes. Sorry.
Can you turn that on just for a second?
Yes. Can you hear me now? Right, good. Okay. Thank you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Well, here is something else for us. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. You know those three dots there? There it actually says, sanctify Christ in your heart. And then it goes on to always be prepared. How can you share Christ with somebody if you yourself have kind of doubts? That's why when I was growing up and then later on, I wanted to train to be a missionary for Islam. I wanted first to learn it for myself, to understand this whole thing so I could be sharing Islam with other people. Realized that was not. Where did I finish? Yes, through Christ. So that's quite important. But this is the way that we have to remember every time. Yes, there will be upsetness, but we have to do things with gentleness and respect. And yes, there are certain things to be added. And let me say, when we are talking to our Muslim friends, we do see that Westerners cherish punctuality, while Easterners cherish hospitality over punctuality. So as I kind of make a joke, but it's understandable. At the same time, we are living in the American context. Yes, be punctual and let them to be trained for that as well, and do mention to them. But in the beginning, you may find that, the person made an appointment with you to meet you at 1 o'clock and he's coming at 2 o'clock. And things kind of become a little bit a surprise. So what I used to do is, whenever I would make an appointment with some Muslim friends, I would make a gap of a little bit over time on it and say, okay, I have to be there. If the person is not showing up, still have a book in my hand or something that I would read or do some homework there while the person is still dragging his or her feet to arrive there. Mostly his feet, yeah, not her feet, because men talk to men and women talk to women. So I just wanted to. Now, why, Stephen, you want to say that? Why would Muslim ask these questions or raise objections? When you look at the pages of the Quran again and again, and I will be sharing that with you very soon, it actually exalts the scripture. It does bring some people into question that the Jewish people were corrupting their scripture. But be reminded, Jesus also accused the Jewish people not for corrupting the scripture literally, but by giving the wrong interpretation. That's what he was doing. You know, you do these things. So that can be taken from the Quran as well. Because on the other hand, then there would be a big contradiction. What Muslims realized that when they burst out of the desert of Arabia and took over everything, and then they established this hierarchy in 100 years, which was greater than the Roman Empire. Then they started settling down and putting all these Islamic law together, because there were certain things that Muhammad did not have that kind of incorporation. So they were looking back to say, okay, if Muhammad was in this situation, what would he say and all this? Now they are saying that if we believe in the integrity of the Jewish scriptures and the Christian scriptures, we got a problem at our hand. Then it means the scripture is completed there. How we fit in this Quran as the continuation of it. So they came up with two ideas. One, that the Bible is corrupted. Second, even if it's not corrupted, by the arrival of the Quran, it is now the Bible is abrogated. So these two objections were raised. Abrogated in the meaning that they said when a prophet would come, he would bring certain law, and another prophet will come, and some of those laws will be gone. So when Jesus came, he abrogated, this is what the Muslim idea is, he abrogated or annulled the laws of whatever Moses had brought before. So those were gone. And when Muhammad came, he abrogated all of the Torah and whatever Jesus had brought. That is the idea behind. And we will be looking into it, that is it possible? Did Jesus ever say that he came to abrogate the law? No, he didn't. He didn't. He came to fulfill it. And if that was the case, why would he give a very small, kind of to make it like a smaller 2 points outline for you? Love God and love your neighbor. Yes, I think that's, you know, I was raised in an environment that parabolically we will learn things. Here you have outlines, the title, the introduction, and then a few points, and then the conclusion. I wish my life was like that, but it never happened. But I'm now reaping the both sides, and sometime I say, so where am I standing here? So, but I use both of them. Okay, so let's continue. Please be reminded, Muslims love spiritual conversations, and some even to the extent of dialogue and debate. Oh yes, you will never offend a Muslim. You may offend a Muslim if you attack the person of Muhammad. You would have lost it. The person is gone. He's not going to listen to you. He may not say, he may be quite upset, but in this country, because of the freedom of faith, he may never meet you. So it's much better to leave it alone, more think about him. And even if there is a point you are bringing, say the Prophet of Islam, never take the name Muhammad, because Muslims are supposed to, whenever they take the name of Muhammad, they have to say, Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. And now he's not listening to you, he's repeating that prayer in his mind, another. But if you say the Prophet of Islam, then that's okay with him. So you continue. You, did you know this, that that's what they do, the peace be upon him and all that? That will be the rough translation of it. And do talk to them. They will never be offended. They love to talk about spiritual issues. A Muslim may not be a practicing Muslim, but he would love to talk about religion, about faith. Well, here are these advertisements by some people. I am a Muslim. I love Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. So questions like these may come. Why don't you believe in Muhammad and the Quran? Well, after Jesus, Muhammad came, so you should. I believe in Jesus. Why can't you believe in Muhammad as the final prophet? They will ask you this question. Why don't you become a Muslim? Abraham was a Muslim, they will say. He submitted himself to God. And so if you don't know what actually he's saying, he's a Muslim. But Islam came quite late. Muslims are a later invention. What they try to do to tell you is that all the prophets were Muslim. The word Muslim means a person who has submitted himself to God. But many Muslims will not share that with you. But you say, oh yes, I believe that in that respect, I'm a Muslim too. But I believe in Jesus. And you know, you can go on and share that. But I prefer to be called by his name. Thus, I'm a Christian. Believer in Christ. So there are these questions. Why do you believe in Trinity, three gods? How can Jesus be the Son of God? Jesus was not really crucified. The Bible has been altered, corrupted, or abrogated. Why is Jesus the only way? And there are many other questions. They will bring all these. This is why we have these 14 evangelistic leaflets. Okay, so what should we do? As I said, the criterion is the scripture, the Bible for us, and say, well, here it is. But there are some basics. Again, as I said, try to get to understand what a Muslim has in mind when asking such questions. Otherwise, our answer might be misunderstood. What is it that persuaded you to ask this question or raise this objection? Get to know the person. You know, ask a Christian, so why do you believe God is love? Why do you believe that God is love? And interview them separately, and you will come across that they all refer to John 3:16, or many of them, but they have a different understanding. Oh, yes. And then you look at how could these 40 different writers of the Bible could tell stories after stories to eventually finish with Jesus. How they could relate to each other. Anyway, coming back to this, never be shy to ask to explain. So what is it? And of course, be expected that person will ask you to explain it further. And at the end, we have to learn. It is not us who can convert people. Only the Lord who convicts the hearts and minds, and even then he leaves it to them to now respond. You know, that's, we can share, and if they respond, then the next starts. Okay, here we go. Why don't you believe in Muhammad and the Quran? What about this answer? Muhammad was a liar and the Quran is a book from the devil. You're telling the truth. You're telling the truth. But you got a problem there. You lost him. Or lost her. Such a dealing will not win a Muslim to the truth, Jesus. Yes, that is the fact. But there are times that we have to take it with a pinch of salt and start, because that soul is precious to God as well. So here, this is the way I deal with belief in Muhammad and the Quran. I appreciate, this is the American version of it, I appreciate that you believe in Muhammad as your prophet and in the Quran as your sacred book. You know, you are appreciating his reverence and his etiquettes and his all that, that the way you think that, okay, that's an idea I can appreciate. But then, I believe in Jesus as my Savior and the Bible as the Word of God. So indirectly you're saying, okay, that's good enough for you, but the good enough is for me, is the Bible. You are drawing the line there. Oh, yes. Yes. Talk about politics. Here is the Christian arena now. You have drawn the line, and back and forth, badminton or tennis court is now open here. Okay. Now, belief in Muhammad and the Quran. He says, I believe in Jesus as a prophet of God. Why can't you believe in Muhammad as the final prophet? A Muslim has a point here. So, well, sir, friend, you believe in Jesus because the Quran mentions him. Otherwise, a Muslim would never believe in him. But because the Quran mentions, like for you and me, and this is another subject, Jesus in the Quran, there are 990 passages about Jesus. Some are facts, others are just fiction. For example, where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem. And where actually this took place? In Bethlehem, but what? Okay, and the baby was put in where? Okay, the Quran says that when the time of birth came, Mary went into seclusion and under a palm tree gave birth to the baby. So it's not anymore. And this baby was talking like we talk to each other right from his birth. And he used to perform miracles right from childhood. So he didn't need a baby bottle. Okay, that is not in the Quran, but what I'm saying is that is my interpretation, that if he could do that. Anyway, then there are traditions, and there are some spurious traditions in certain spurious gospels as well, that as 10 years old, he will make clay birds. And the Quran also mentions that then he will make a clay bird and then breathe into it and it will fly. And that's what he did. And of course, when he, at one age, he came and he was the prophet of God and went to the Israelites and say, I am a prophet sent to you. I am the Messiah of God, the son of Mary, and you should believe in me as the prophet and believe in God and also in my prophethood. But the Jewish people refused. Anyway, so we can mention that, that you believe in Jesus because the Quran mentions him. I cannot believe in the Quran because with Jesus, everything finishes. The scripture closes down and also. So he may ask you because he may have been told, well, so what about these epistles you have? Because that's after Jesus. What is that all about? Well, you can tell them in this way. Remember, in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about the Comforter. And as soon as you move to chapter 15 or 16, you will find passages where it says, when this Comforter and the Holy Spirit comes, he will remind you what I have said and will lead you further into the truth. Thus, we see that the reminder, we see the Gospels. And further into the truth, we see the epistles. He may agree, he may disagree. Even some Christians disagree with me on that thing. But just if you take it or leave it, so you can mention that. So, of course, they will go further than that. They will quickly move. Sometime a Muslim, they will raise an objection, they will question something, and you have answered, and the person is not actually staying there. Oh, so, but what about this? So another question. There are times, please calm him or her down. He said, so, wait a minute. Before we go a little bit further, is that okay? Is that satisfies your mind in this and heart that is my answer okay? And if he says yes, go ahead. If not, so what is it that still you are having problem with? Try to, you know, pin it down step by step. And it's okay. Let the person know so that he or she will be careful further asking question. Okay, so it is a Muslim. Oh, but Jesus and Moses predicted the coming of Muhammad, so why can't you believe? And that person will go to John chapter 14, 15, 16, if he had studied those things. Or he would say, oh, I have heard my peers saying this. And of course, you can mention where. Okay, let me give you my Bible, or here's a copy. Would you please take it and mark it for me where it is said? Don't teach him his religion, please. No, just You know already so many things. So don't, oh, you believe this and we believe this. No, 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 no. Just leave that alone. That's for yours. So here we have a leaflet. You may have read it before or other. And never give a Muslim a leaflet or a booklet, even a book, if you yourself have not read it and understood it. Because if that person comes back and I say, what is this? What does this mean? And you say, I didn't read it. Somebody said it will be okay, so I'm giving it to you. That's not a good idea. So please read this leaflet, Did Jesus Promise Bahamas Coming? And it talks about those things that no, it's not. It was fulfilled in the apostles' time. The Holy Spirit, who is mentioned in the book of Acts clearly, so you can go there. There is this other one, a prophet like Moses. Please read them. So what you can do is that if you are not even discussing, you don't have the time, you say, well, for that, we believe that no, those prophecies are not about Muhammad. Would you like care to read it? I will see what I'm saying. I will let you borrow it from me and read it. Now you have tied the person to it because now you have the authority to ask that person, were you able to read it? And the person says, no, do you want it back? Oh no, you can have more time to read it and we can discuss it. What does this person who has written it say? So you are kind of like pressurizing in a way, indirectly, nice way, to have the time that this is important. Please, you mention it to me. You know, it's a matter of eternal life, matter of, and he knows the word eternal life there. It is matter of life and death. We should be talking about it. Let him understand or her understand about it and then come back and discuss those things. They may come up, some may have studied more. There are other prophecies. Actually, chapter 8 of this book, it starts on page 172, goes as far as 209, and you can read some of those other prophecies which are actually about Jesus. They are using them. So I can take the responsibility for that, and if you know, want to know more after reading that, I can provide you more information. Actually, this was this book could be volume 1 and there could be volume 2 and 3 behind it, but I didn't want to go because nowadays, not many people would like to read so many things. So it's much better to stick to little as much as we can. Okay, here's another one. Why don't you become a Muslim? Well, here is the answer. And I have seen Christian friends have told me that this question has been put to them, not to me because I'm an apostate in their eyes, but this question has been put to many Christians. Why don't you become a Muslim? Well, the Christian answer is, I understand, or I'm told, that the Arabic word Muslim, that word simply means a person who has submitted or surrendered to God. I have already surrendered myself to God. And that's why I'm called a Christian, because Christ is my Savior. So, here in James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, God opposes the proud but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. So I have submitted myself to God through Christ. Because Jesus said, no, you are sharing biblical scripture as well at the same time. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father but through me. He is the way. And that's why I submitted myself. He said, I am the gate, I am the door. And by, of course, I mentioned this before, the story of submission. You can share that leaflet with them if you want to. Okay, moving further, why do you believe in Trinity? How could be 1 plus 1? And they will say, 1 plus 1, and that makes it 3. What do you do? God. So this is what so what does the Quran say? Well, here is a reference for Muslim accused Christians of believing that God is the third of three. Does it talk about Trinity? No, it's not. Here's another one for you. Do not say three. Then the question comes, what do you mean three? You know, what is that? If the person says, oh, it's what you believe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is it? Well, here as a situation, Allah will ask Jesus on the day of judgment, "Didst thou say unto mankind, take me and my mother for two gods beside God?" See what is happening here. What the Quran is condemning, a trinity made of God, in other words, as they call him, Allah, Mary, and Jesus. If some sectarian group or heretics group believe that, and some have gone, although Catholic friends deny that they do not believe in that type of trinity, they also believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, explain that. Well, the Bible is quite clear. This is what I do. I believe in one God who has revealed himself in the scripture as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, share that we only know as much as what Jesus revealed. And the person may come back and say, "Oh, but you use the word Trinity. I have heard that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. So why believe in something which is not in the Bible?" What are you going to do at that time? Here is my answer to it. Yes, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are mentioned. This is what Jesus has also mentioned. To make the whole thing short for us, all this concept has been given the name as Trinity to explain it for us. "Oh, but it's not in the Bible, so you should not be using this, saying we believe in Trinity, the triune God." Oh, so you have now established a standard here that if it's not in the Bible, a term in which we believe, or the concept of it we believe, then it should not be used. What about your concept of God? They believe God is one, and that concept is called Tawheed. Write it down, T-A-W-H-I-D, Tawheed. Well, that word is not found. That term which is used for the unity of God is not found in the Quran. So, if you can use a term to explain the unity of God as Tawheed, why do you have problem when I use the word Trinity to explain, to make it shorter for you? I believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. However, yes, I do mention that great day is coming in his presence. We will know more about him. There are other things, but we will leave that to make it more simple. How can Jesus be the Son of God? Again, in our case, we go to the Bible. In his case, he has to go to the ultimate authority, which for him is the Quran. And present yourself as a third person. "This is what I have heard," what I have heard and understood. For example, here in chapter 19 of the Quran, verses 88 to 89, they say, in other words, the Christian says, "Most gracious has begotten a son." Assuredly, they utter a disastrous thing. But let's not stop there. Well, the Quran also says, and Muslims recite this chapter 112 so many times, more than 36 times a day in their prayer, and "lam yalid wa lam yulad," in other words, God begets not, nor he's begotten. Okay, let's go a little bit further. "Indeed, they blaspheme who say that God is the Christ, Son of Mary." Okay. Yes, let's go a little bit further. The Quran also says the Messiah, Son of Mary, was nothing but an apostle. Okay, what's the problem? Here is the problem. The Quranic claim and reasoning is, "Glory be to him, he is above having a son." Very good. Okay, Here is the crunch now, the line. How can God have a son when he has no consort, in other words, no wife? You see how it boils down? So in other words, I should have put that in the front and then brought all that. But the Muslim is not going there. The Muslim is presenting to you the case, this, this, this. But the question is, why? The Quran is giving the reason. How can God have a son when he has no consort? Now, the question then is, do we really believe that? Let's remove misunderstanding. The Bible nowhere speaks of God having a wife and then Jesus was born. Oh no, it does not say that at all. Father and son need not to be construed in a literal way. You know that there are Christians, I heard, and I'm so surprised, they call themselves Christians. They said, yes, God did have that type of relation with Mary, and then, you know, like the old gods and goddesses of the Greeks and other will come with human being, and then they will have children. So that's the way, yes, Jesus did come. But that's not the Bible say. The Bible is quite clear. Read Gospel according to Matthew. Read the Gospel according to Luke, and you will find. And then tell this person, Father and Son need not to be construed in a literal way. Here is, the angel's testimony is, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And it's quite interesting that in Luke chapter 1, twice, angel Gabriel mentions that. Now, if it is the same God and the same angel Gabriel then coming, bringing the message to Muhammad, how is it possible that 600 years earlier he had said, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, and yet to Muhammad, he says that those who believe Jesus as the Son of God, they are blasphemers. Problem, isn't it? Is it the same God? So, and then of course you can compare that with John chapter 1. My dear Muslim friend, if Muhammad has given you authority or to believe in something, whether it is a definition or it is a statement, would you refuse? No. The Muslim will say, oh no. Well, in the same way, it is our situation that Jesus has been mentioned in chapter 3. There is, from the heavenly realm, the voice comes at his baptism and also at his transfiguration. This is my son, in whom I am very pleased. Listen to him. Then Jesus also himself accepted to be called the Son of the Living God. Matthew chapter 16. Pin it on the scripture again and again. You are actually helping that person. When the scripture says that it has the authority and the power, you know, we should use it. And so show the person that how one day Jesus asked, so what do people say about me? What about you? And Peter, with big open mind, says, always ready to have something. But in this case, Jesus says, it has not been revealed to you by your own, but actually by my Father in heaven. See, he never said, Peter, shut up, sit down. That happened on the question of his crucifixion and burial and resurrection. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, there is a compassion which offends God. See, this Peter had compassion. Muslims have compassion for God as well, for this Jesus as well. That how could God let this innocent Jesus die on the cross? Oh, but look at the other side, victorious resurrection. I'll be talking about that in a minute. So Christian understanding of Jesus being divine is not the Son of Mary became equal to God, but that the one who was with God and was him became Son of Mary, the Son of Man. See, they put it around. How is it possible that a mere human being become to be believed God? Oh, no, 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 no. Go to the background. Remember John chapter 17. What is Jesus praying? He says, Father, now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the beginning. What is happening here? Why Jesus is called the Word of God? He was with him from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1, again, referring to that. Everything was created through him. In Colossians, in several other places, through him. And so when everything went wrong, the same construction company and the CEO was sent to put it right. Sorry, putting it in American English, which is still. If God is eternal, his word must be eternal. My Muslim friend, do you believe Jesus is the word of God? Oh, yes, we do too. We do so. So if God is eternal, do you think that his word cannot be eternal? What about the living word? You know, Muslims believe that the Quran is, that book I was showing you yesterday, the Quran is the word of God, thus it is eternal because it was in heavens with God. What about Jesus being the living word of God? So God existed, his word existed with him. This is why some Muslims, after 400 years after Muhammad's death, started inventing story that God created first the light of Muhammad, and then from this light he created the whole universe. The Quran does not say that at all. The Quran is the first-hand authority. No, it does not say something like that. It is this attribution later on accumulated to attribute to Muhammad. You don't have to go to those things. Here is a leaflet for you. God has no wife. It can help you in further understanding of it. If you want to know more, you go to itl-usa.org, and there are articles like these and several other places you may learn from that. Now, let's go to the crucifixion. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection are denied by Muslims. Muslims acknowledge that Jesus did ascend into heaven and will come again, as I mentioned yesterday. This passage actually says that the Jews who say, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, indeed they did not kill him nor crucified him, but it was made dubious for them. And they have all these doubts around them and only follow what they think. But indeed they did not kill him, and God actually took him up to himself. Yet there are other places in chapter 3 of the Quran and other that when the time came, we said to Jesus that we are going to let you die, be buried, and rise again. But Muslims say, oh, that burying will happen when he comes the second time. Here is a technical point. Yes, no one could kill this Messiah. Even he said, to who? To Pilate, unless it had been given from you, from God, you would have no authority over me. He came for that purpose. Secondly, don't just look at the crucifixion, look at the victorious resurrection. The Jews have been mentioned that they conspired this whole thing. Yes, in a way. But it was God's plan in the first place to show them the victorious. And of course, then you can go into the situation and mention to him, would you please care to read letter to the Hebrews? And read that to the person. He says 12 chapters, but ask him to read. And then compare it with the book of Leviticus, and you come across a lot of information. Anyway, biblical response will be something like this, that if I believe, my Muslim friend, what you believe, then it will be All those prophecies in the Old Testament, given that these people who gave those prophecies, they were liars then. Quite a big question. They would be all then telling the wrong story. Jesus himself predicted his suffering, death, and victorious resurrection. And I was talking to you about Peter's concern about that's the compassion which Muslims have for Jesus. They don't want to see this Jesus to be crucified like that. But they forget about his victorious resurrection. And so, please, do read to that person 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And I say here the Bible interprets the death of Jesus together with his subsequent resurrection as a victory. That's the main thing. We should look not only at his crucifixion and death, but also his victorious resurrection. So that's why I have a little bit problem when I see in Catholic churches Jesus still on the cross. That's just me, perhaps, but the cross is empty. Nothing is there. So biblical picture fits together. Go to Gospel according to Luke. Read that. In one of the meeting, there is a Christian apologetic person by the name Josh McDowell. Josh McDowell, and there was a Muslim scholar by the name Ahmad Didet and John Gilchrist and several other people back in 1984. We were in Johannesburg in South Africa, and Dr. Ahmad Didet, the Muslim scholar, said, "Nowhere in this Bible you will find that Jesus said, 'I died and I am risen.'" And of course, so for some reason, something happened to me, and this Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 came to my mind, and I wrote it on a piece of paper, and I kind of pushed it towards Josh, and he said, "Thank you. We both have the mind of Christ." Of course. And he read that. "I died and now I'm living forever." That's just kind of like victory. So do mention these, that there were prophecies about him that he will gain. And then at his second coming, he's coming as a judge. Even you believe that as well, that he's coming as a judge. So his resurrection, victory over death, his ascension, exaltation, his coronation, he is at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor for us as well there. And this is his intercession. He sent not only the Holy Spirit as our advocate, but also he himself is our high priest. You see, together. Just think about it. Does the Prophet of Islam, reverently mention that, does the Prophet of Islam have something like this? That this is what we see in his resurrection, in his ascension, his coronation, his intercession, all these things. And there are other titles for him as well. But in this, we see that. Of course, I shared this with you. Muslims believe in the second coming. They say that Jesus would break all the crosses. In other words, the faith in Christ and also the message of the cross, and he will also tell Christians and Jews to become Muslims. He will deny his lordship being divine. This Dr. Zakir Naik says Jesus will come back as a follower of Muhammad. He will deny his divinity and follow Islamic law.
He will come as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will follow the same law of the Quran and the Hadith. He will not teach anything new. He will come to testify only to the Christians that I never claimed divinity, and he will follow the law of the Quran and the Sahih Hadith.
This gentleman, Ahmadi, that whom I mentioned, Josh, had a debate, and John and several others. He died in the late 90s. Dr. Zakir Naik was his disciple as well. Here is quoting Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23, Didat comments, "Jesus is coming back to judge you," in other words, Christians. "He will say to you, Christians, 'I do not know you.' Why? Because you call him Lord. He is not. You made him God. That is the reason he will deny you."
He's coming along to rectify you.
And he's telling you in the Gospel of St. Matthew, he says, many will say to me on that day, in his second coming, on his return, and many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name do many mighty works? They're going to ask Jesus, didn't we do all these things? We built hospitals, you know, orphanages, and we looked after the aborigines, and we looked after the Maoris, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name do many mighty works. What does Jesus say to that? He said, I never knew you. I'm asking the Christians, answer. You know why? You know why? Because you call him Lord. He is not your Lord. He is not your God.
This is important that we know our scripture. He was quoting from Matthew 7. Now the question is, does Matthew 7, 22 to 23 suggest that Jesus will be upset because he's called Lord by believers? No. The argument in the context is not about the lordship of Jesus, but of not obeying what Jesus has commanded. In fact, okay, you know, when one's text is not clear, what do? You look at the context, you go other places, because the whole is the scripture. Don't just say it contains the word of God. It is the word of God. So other places, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Is he denying? Don't call me Lord. No. Here's another one. John chapter 13, verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, not L-A-R-D, L-O-R-D, and rightly so, for that is what I am, but you don't know, you don't do what I say. And here's with such boldness, did you see the boldness of this person? That's why it is important that we should know our scripture. If we don't know, let's go back to it. So even a preacher or a teacher or whoever is telling us, let's check it out. That is it so? That's why I like that Berean example, that when they heard these people, Paul especially, they went home and checked, because they didn't have iPhone to check it there and then. They had to check it with his big rolls somewhere in the synagogues and other. And then they realized that, oh, that was the fact. Okay, let's talk about the integrity of the Bible. Was the Bible corrupted before or after the time of Muhammad? I'm making it simple for you now here. Ask that question. When was it that the Bible was corrupted? Well, if a Muslim say after, point out that there is ample manuscript evidence that the Bible of Muhammad's time was in content the same as it is now. He was in the 7th century. And what do we have? We have manuscripts before that. So, if a Muslim say before, then he has the problem of explaining passages of the Quran which vindicate the Bible. That, okay, we leave those manuscripts on one side. Here you got a problem. Your own Quran says, no changes can there be in the Word of God. And I already shared with you that when it says that God's words cannot be changed, you got a big problem. Here, this is that, those squiggly things. Yeah, of course it's Greek to you, it's Arabic to me. It says, you should say, as a Muslim, I believe in God, whatever is revealed to us, and whatever was revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, and Jacob, I believe in them, and whatever was given to Moses and Jesus and the prophets from our Lord, we believe in them, and I do not make any distinction among them, and we are those who have submitted ourselves. To what? To those messages. Now you start thinking, okay, so if this is the case, then you are making a distinction. Here's another one. That one says, let the people of the gospel judge by what is revealed in it. And those who will not, they are among those who are hypocrites. Here's another one. It says, O people of the book, you have no foundation unless you establish and follow what is in the Torah and in the Gospel and other scriptures which have been revealed to you from your God. In other words, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the Psalms and all those. That was my problem as well. So if they raise this question, you can again read this, The Bible Exchange, really, if you want to know more about it, it's all there for you. But it comes all this, why Jesus is the only way. If he does not bring that question, bring it to yourself. Let me share with you, why is Jesus the only way? Why? Because he is unique in his authority. Mention those scriptures where people saw that he was the man of authority. He was not like their teachers. Mention that. He is more than a prophet. He is the word of God, and he has revealed God. God who is hidden, al-batin, he revealed in himself, in Jesus. And then how various prophets foretold the coming of Jesus, we can share that. And that he is the great and the only sacrifice, Zabiha Akbar, the great sacrifice. And we can mention, in fact, if you read this leaflet, you will find that in chapter 37 of the Quran, God says to Muhammad and other that you should know, وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِزْهَبٍ عَزِيمٍ, the storytelling about Abraham and his son, how God provided the sacrifice, and then God says, and we ransomed him with a great sacrifice. Can a ram be equal to a person? No, not at all. And why God is referring to that this sacrifice, we ransomed Abraham with a great sacrifice. What is that sacrifice? And then go to what Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham saw my day and was glad. John chapter 8, and go into all that. You know, you have an Islamic dilemma and we have a Christian answer. Show from the scriptures that a believer in Jesus has assurance of eternal life. Share what Jesus has said about his uniqueness and the assurance he presents. And of course, Jesus is the only name given under heaven through whom we can be saved. And he is the only one coming back. But we know that he's coming back the way you think. Oh yes, he's coming for his bride. But it's not the way you think. We think that that bride is the church. We have this booklet, Why Follow Jesus? You already know what it says. All those in simplicity, we have put this together in 20 bite size for a Muslim. And if you want more copies, we can send them to you. You just pass them on. Because a Muslim may not know. You already, as a Christian, you know how what Jesus was all about, what happened, and how he is the fulfillment of all that. And if he wants to, or she wants to be a follower of Christ, the last chapter says what they should be doing and how to be in the fellowship of other followers of Christ as well. Here is, if you want to have a simple conversation, to see an example how I and my Muslim friend talked, that's there, More Than Conquerors. And of course, there are other leaflets and booklets and other things are there. But here, and I will be saying this, there are some etiquettes to follow. Avoid polemic and wordy arguments. If it becomes too much, leave it there. There is another day to start with. Always realize, seek the Holy Spirit of God and ask, is it time now to close this because the person is not listening? Because he's not in a mood? Or let's talk about it some other time. Argument may win a point but lose a hearing. There are some points on which you can argue forever without achieving a thing except closing a mind against ourselves. That's really can happen. Someone has said, Stephen, remember the gospel is the main course. Apologetics is just the seasoning. Let's rely at the end of the day. We may argue and all the way, everything. We may win our arguments, but apologetic will never save us. Yes, it's a tool to be used, But let's not forget the main course, the gospel. Let's persevere. Muslims have a lot of rethinking to do when they are confronted with the gospel. Their ID is at stake. Oh, yes. See the present generation in this country? Today they want to be someone else using another bathroom because they have lost their identity. They have no idea their identity in Christ. The same is with a Muslim. He knows that, oh, my ID is my family as a Muslim and also all these people. How, what's going to happen to me? And we can share. We will be your brother and sisters in Christ. You will have a family. We will be your family. That's what it's all about. Share his ID in Christ and family of believers. Be ready to help. Ask for other Christians to come forward to be in fellowship. May I pray with you? That's the way to do. Persevere. Rest assured. The word of God does not return void. The word that goes from my mouth will never return to me empty. This is what God told one of the prophets. The mission field is there. And that's why Paul had to claim it and say, beautiful are the feet who bring good news. He was referring to an Old Testament. So have a little bit break, and then we will enter into the last part of it. Bridge points. Some of the things which we already have said, we'll go back. There are many other issues, like the status of women in Islam and Christianity. You already mentioned about Islamic law. I could for hours talk about the Islamic law and a Christian approach to it. And there are a lot of other subjects today. What's Islam's answer to gender equality and all this in today's society? And how Islam is changing its root. What about all these denominations Islam has, this Sufism and all that? And we can go on and on. There is no ending to it. But one thing which we again and again have to come at the end of the day, even if we don't remember, we can learn these things as an apprentice on the job as well. So tell me, what do you do as a Muslim? How to please God? How to do his will. May I share with you how I have responded to the call of God? May I share with you my testimony, how I have believed? Oh, my goodness. They hear you. They hear you. And even if they say they don't want to, you have sown the seed. Thank you so much. So have some break, some water into your face and other. Yeah, I know my Pakistani accent is terrible sometimes. So please, yes, we come back in about 5 minutes.